This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down, have lunch at Midtown Cafe, and watch the show. We'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol, and a list of upcoming shows and past shows and pictures and all that is on there. So here we are. This is week number four.
Wow.
I know.
It's getting so many. It is. That it's harder and harder to count and keep track. I'm glad you're doing it.
Actually, it might be five.
Wait till we get into the double digits and then. Okay.
It is five.
Confirmed.
It's five.
Wow.
See?
Wait till we get to double digits and then it'll be like, just off the charts.
There you go. And it's welcome back, Bob. He was in spring training last week down in Fort Myers. They had a blast. We watched their pictures and J-Dog eating his key lime pie all week.
That was the best segment. And I had so many people talking to me about key lime pie after that. So J-Dog had quite a following just from the key lime pie piece.
I get a kick out of that. The night he had two desserts.
Yes.
What a nut.
Yes, I know it.
So funny.
But you gotta, applaud his gusto.
Yes. Oh, we should be talking about two desserts on Healthy Monday.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I do have to talk about, because I keep staring at, it's so much fun to be across the table from you while we're doing the show, because Carol, you bring out my inner bling, because you wear the nicest jewelry, and everything that you wear, there's always something that's going to sparkle, and it so catches my attention that I don't know if you're like trying to hypnotize me and try to get me to calm down at certain points you've also got quite a fashion thing going on here.
Jeez. You. I like your necklace today, too. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, since we're thanking each other, let's also thank our sponsors.
There you go.
And speaking of bling, Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street, Concord. ExpressJewelryNH.com online, precision repair and sales. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry at IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company. And we will be hearing from Rocco in a few short minutes. Belmont Hall and Restaurant, 718 Grove Street in Manchester, belmonthall.net. Top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-through in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, celesteoliva.com, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. And they've added to their line fresh pasta and honey. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. So we want to thank you to all those sponsors for making Food for Thought possible.
That's right. And Belmont Hall, of course, is one of our sponsors. And my sister called me this morning, and she has, when it's your birthday and you go in there, whatever age you are, like if you're, going to be turning 60 or 50, it's a percent off that you get. So if you're going to be turning 52, you get 52% off. Well, they had a man in there this morning that was 101.
So did
they
pay him?
Give him money back. Isn't
excellent.
That cool?
I love that.
That is so cool.
That is fantastic. And what a great incentive. I mean, because there's not too many benefits that we think of for turning older, but that is definitely a benefit.
Isn't that great?
That you get a good deal off your
breakfast.
That's awesome. I hope everybody applaud. Like, did they make a big announcement and applaud? And
well, she was going to call the union leader and channel 9. I'm like, call. Definitely. So I'm not sure exactly what happened. So that's kind of cool.
I like that.
So,
Very nice. Longevity.
Yeah. But today is. It's not healthy either, but we have to talk about the food day.
We do have to talk about the food day.
It is National Banana Cream Pie Day.
Oh, Oh, okay. Well, now my husband, he's not a big dessert guy. He likes all other foods. There are very few desserts he likes, and one of them is banana cream pie.
It's my niece Alexa's favorite pie.
Ooh.
Banana cream pie.
You know, I have a recipe for one that you coat the bottom of the graham cracker crust in like a layer of chocolate.
Ooh.
And then it's the banana cream
then
on top of that. It's very good.
And it's also national, this is kind of strange, it's National School Breakfast Week.
School Breakfast Week. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it is also, this is huge.
Yeah.
It is Spam Appreciation
Week. Oh, my goodness. Now, spam is fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. Because
isn't it crazy?
I did. Of course, I ate it growing up. I'm not sure why, what we did to make my mother serve that to us.
I think we all ate it when we were kids.
We had to have Spam and Tang, right?
Spam,
maybe not in the same
tang.
Meal.
Remember that olive loaf stuff?
Oh, yes.
Olive loaf?
It was like this weirdo square pressed cold cut meat with
olives in it.
Yes.
I used to hate when I get to school and I'd open up that stinking sandwich and it would be olive loaf.
Thankfully, we never had that.
And liverwurst.
I didn't have that either. I had bologna, but I kind of liked that. Like,
gross.
I loved bologna. Spam, though, like, if you think about it, and my mom would fry it for dinner, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you... What is it?
Spam, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
A unique blend of prime pork and ham.
Yeah.
And it says minimum 90% meat.
Well, it may be meat, but where is it from? I mean, what parts of this prime pork?
I don't know, but you know they have a Spam website, and it is an awesome website.
It is.
Colorful, and it is crazy, and there's recipes on there. Top your favorite pizza with Spam.
You know, I want to hear from somebody who still enjoys Spam or cooks with it.
Well,
that's what I want to hear from.
You know, Daryl and I went to have breakfast. We had breakfast Saturday. We didn't have a whole lot of time. Well, not that I have to. We went to the Bag Diner, which is on Mast Road.
Okay.
And excellent diner. I know the owner. It's the owner. Her name is Tammy, and she works with her mother and her grandmother.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
And they're so nice, and the food is very, very good. And they had on the special Spam and Eggs. And there's a few diners that do Spam and Eggs, so it's kind of cool. Yeah. So they had Spam and Eggs on the menu.
That's interesting.
But
it is. It's that weird, like, that little rectangular shape.
In a can.
Flat, like, press. It's like press board, the meat version of press board.
You're right. Well, you know what Daryl said? He said that Spam is one of those items that you're supposed to have in your, like, emergency
closet. Oh, your
closet.
Bomb shelter kind of thing?
Yeah. Because it lasts for, like, 25 years or something?
It is kind of gross if you think about that kind of longevity.
Okay,
I mean,
actually,
for the food.
Listen to the making of a legend.
Oh, yeah.
Spam chopped pork and ham was born out of a meat crisis. Not too little meat, too much. The Hormel Food Company of Minnesota created pork products, and they had an excess pork shoulder. President Jay Hormel hit on an idea. He ground pork shoulder with ham and cooked it in the can to create a long-life meat product. Spam chopped pork and ham first made its way into people's plates in the U.S. on July 5th, 1937.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, there we go.
You know what it's not Spam-related, but it reminds me of, like, tuna wiggle, or did you have that that soupy
wiggle.
Kind of stuff?
On
is that
Fridays?
Did you really? Did you put on Ritz crackers and weren't there peas in it and stuff?
Ooh,
it was like a cream sauce.
Yes.
With my mom tried to jazz it up. Boy, I hope she's not listening. And she put shrimp in it, like the little canned shrimp. It was shrimp wiggle. Quite the culinary adventure of my house. See, now you understand why I can't make soup. Shrimp wiggle and Spam.
We're not going to talk about this.
We're not. This is a soup-free week.
We are not going to talk about soup, okay?
No.
I promise.
Can I tell you about... Oh, go ahead. No,
No.
I was going to tell you about something I did make successfully.
Oh. I'm sure you make many things successfully.
I actually
just
do.
Not
I'm
soup.
Kind, right. You're right. Because I just have no interest. And the things you really have no interest in, you're not going to put your effort into it.
Exactly.
But we went out not long ago, and the kids tried chicken parmesan for the first time. They thought, oh, this is amazing. And they're like, well, why am I not making that at home? So, and it was pretty easy. All I needed was chicken breast, and I had panko
breadcrumbs.
Yes. So I did the flour first, and then a little bit of egg white wash, and then panko breadcrumbs, and I baked it. instead of frying it.
Perfect.
And we did that over a whole wheat pasta with some marinara sauce. And the boys thought it was great. They were so excited. Cleaned their plates. Everybody was happy.
That's awesome.
It was a great thing. Yeah, it was super easy to make.
And the whole wheat pasta.
Yeah. And honestly, it does. It floors me because I used to like just the regular pasta better. But it is heartier. It fills you better. And surprisingly, the kids like the taste of it.
I have to try it.
So, yeah, it really, as we've said before, it has come a long way. It's much better than it used to be.
Right. Because the last time I had it, it wasn't good. But it was when it first came out.
Right.
But you know, now you go and you look, there's so many different kinds.
Yeah.
I had no idea which one to get. There's
right.
so many different kinds. And there's this wheat and that wheat and this and that. And it's crazy.
Overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. Do you know, I went one time to go get Band-Aids.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming buying Band-Aids.
When you're ready to almost have a little, you know.
I mean, really?
Meltdown
Do
in the aisle.
Do you need to have that many different kinds of Band-Aids?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to just the little regular Band-Aid?
Right.
The normal Band-Aid.
And you know what's funny is that I have tried all the different variations of Band-Aids. I mean, not all of them, but many of them. The ones I go back to now are the basic.
The Band-Aid.
Because they work the best. They cover what they need to cover, and that's it.
And they stick?
Yeah, and they're the right size. Because nothing's more frustrating than getting that assorted pack of Band-Aids.
And you never use the little ones.
Yes! So then somebody has a cut, and the only things you have are the little ones. So you're trying to make a big patch that's going to cover this kid's arm in tiny Band-Aids. It doesn't work. It's not pretty. Then try peeling that off.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Ooh, and then it hurts, and they scream. And oh, boy.
Yeah. Caseworkers come again.
Yes.
It's awful.
Okay, listeners, you are listening to Food for Thought on 107.7 The Pulse. We are live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester, right at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down and watch the show. And we are going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we are going to be in studio with Rocco from Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check them out at integrityfit.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, downtown Manchester. You can come on down and have lunch, Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And you can give us a call at 866-823-1077 if you want to chat with us. And if you have any health questions that you want to talk to Rocco about, you can ask him. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to chat with you. Again, that number is 866-823-1077. And let's welcome back Rocco to the show.
Well, thanks, gals. Glad to be back.
Yeah.
How was your sinful weekend?
My sinful weekend?
Yeah, did you do anything bad?
That was quite an assumption. She's just taken aback.
Like, yes.
Shocked and assaulted first thing.
Yeah, I wanted to defend herself first.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
But before we even get started, I do want to say hello to my mom, who's out there listening to me this morning, and tell her I love her, and I forgive her for all of those spam and those olive loaf sandwiches she made me going to school.
Wow.
So, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Wow.
All right, I apologize. So, how was your weekend, Carol?
My weekend was great.
Oh, great.
I had a good weekend. I had a great weekend. I'm in my groove. I am in my groove. And you didn't hear what happened.
No.
This is kind of funny.
Okay.
I worked out last week, as you know, and then I went back the next day, Friday, because I wanted to get in. I wanted to end the week with three workouts at Integrity.
Good.
To start today, going with Michelle, because Michelle joined and all.
Sure.
So I went back on Friday.
Yeah.
I was all proud of myself. I got there, And I got there by myself too. I was the only one there.
Wow.
It was a little scary at first, but it was all good. It all worked out good. Flipped the lights on and everything went on. It was cool. So I got right into my workout, and then I forgot her name. Is it Donna? I think it was Donna.
Donna, yes.
So Donna came in about 15 minutes later, and I'm doing my workout, and I finished my workout now. Okay, I finished my workout, and I did my elliptical every other.
Yeah, that's called cross training.
Cross training?
Yes.
Oh,
so you're basically doing strength training, then you're crossing over to aerobic training back and forth. So,
but I did the every other with the treadmill.
Yeah.
You told me that was okay, so that's what I did. And So then I'm done my workout. Mm-hmm. And then she says to me, she says, weren't you here yesterday? And I said, yes. She says, you're not supposed to work out 2 days in a row. And I'm like, you're telling me that I didn't need to work out today, and you're telling me after my
now?
Workout?
Yeah.
But no, funny. She said, you're supposed to give your body a rest.
Well, typically what happens is the day after you work out, see, your hormonal status in your body is continuously changing. So we go from what's called anabolic, which is basically a term that we use for protein building or tissue building. And then we go into what's called a catabolic phase, which is a breaking down of tissues. So what we try to do with our programming is to try to keep you in an anabolic state so that you're never breaking down, that you're always building up. And that's why we have that day off in between exercise bouts to give your body a chance to become anabolic again.
Oh, interesting.
You okay. See lots of people out there that think that more is better when they train. In actuality, they're taking a longer time to get healthy and fit because they don't understand what's happening metabolically in the body as far as hormones are concerned. Because if you took advantage of that wave of, or that ebb and flow of the hormones, then you would actually get fit faster.
Nice. See, I'm really committed to the anabolic process. So I've taken a 2-week hiatus in between exercise sessions.
So you're really anabolic.
I am
right
very,
now.
Yes, yes. I feel fit, fitter as we sit. I'm getting fit while I sit.
Oh my gosh.
So basically, in the early stages, though, Carol, just getting up and making that commitment to go is, I believe, behaviorally much better for you. Anyway, even though you probably shouldn't make a habit of doing that, having the mindset that you have to get there or you're choosing to get there is a great thing. And that's where the first and foremost, the number one component of health, as far as I'm concerned, is your mind body, your behavioral change. So you actually made that cognitive decision to say, I am going to go.
Yeah.
And that is the first step in the real big picture of success, because until you change that, all the other components don't really have any effect unless you make a change to say, I am a healthy person and this is what healthy people do.
Right. Exactly. So, I'm in the groove.
So kudos to you.
Definitely in the groove, and I'm happy. I feel good.
How did Michelle, what was her response after her initial?
Well, that, she's actually going back Tuesday? No. She's going back. She went back Saturday, but I don't think they still did the machines yet, I don't think. Or
oh, she just signed up and she's getting ready to do what her program design.
Well, she's already been twice, but she has to go back again.
One, we actually do all the testing so that we can design that prescription for the individual. The second time is to what we call a program instruction, is to go over everything so that you understand the step-by-step
right.
approach to
right.
to the program, yes.
Right.
So maybe that's what it is.
Maybe, yeah. But she's all excited, and so the two of us are going to go together Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, and so we're excited. We're excited.
So, Rocco, when you're talking about, for example, you know, Michelle, or some of the folks that have the visits with you, it sounds like definitely this is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's really tailored to the individual. What are some of the things that you look at when you're determining what your prescription is for that person?
That's a fantastic question. One of the reasons why, do you know that 86% of people who join health clubs fail for that very reason?
The one-size-fits-all mentality?
Yes, because there is no one-size-fits-all. You know, just, you know, prior to back in my competition days when I was lifting very heavy weights, if I wanted to work out with, say, a cousin or a friend, they couldn't do exactly the same workout as me because they were not at the same fitness level as me. So there is no one-size-fits-all for anybody. So at Integrity, what we do is we measure what your fitness capacity is before we design the program. In other words, we want to know what your cardiovascular capacity is so that we can give you a prescription that you feel like, yes, I can, versus somebody who may go into a, and I don't want to put any the other health clubs down because I know they try their best, but the reality is there has been no system on the backside. You get your membership tag and then you'd be handed off to a trainer, but each trainer in that club would probably have their own philosophy, so there is no continuity into what happens. For us, is we want to find out, okay, let's find out what that cardiovascular capacity is so that we can program a heart rate or a working heart rate for them, so when they're exercising, that it feels, you know, we call it the Goldilocks syndrome, just right, not too hard and not too easy. Get them right in their training zone. And that's different for all people. So somebody who's coming out of, say, cardiovascular rehabilitation from heart surgery would not have the same prescription as somebody who is a distance runner.
Sure.
So anywhere in between those two points, we would have to find out where is the comfortable starting point for this individual so that we can move them forward. Exercise isn't bad for anybody, but some people who are trained too hard in the beginning tend to want to quit because they say it's too hard or I can't do this. And right. In most cases, they are right. And it's a disservice to that customer because the reality is they probably didn't put them in at the level where they need to be. Mm-hmm. Same thing holds true for strength training. You can't put somebody and say, oh, here's a squat bar and get down and give me 20 squats with 150 pounds to somebody that may not be able to do that. They wake up the next morning thinking they got hit by a train and say, I'm not going to do this ever again. And they may have purchased, 10, 20 sessions from a particular health club, and they'll never go back and probably never see their money again. When in reality is that they need to be started at a level of strength training that is appropriate for what their initial conditioning right. is and move them forward. No different than when we learned in school. We started off in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. We approach fitness the same way. So if you come in at the fifth grade level, then we're going to give you a fifth grade to sixth grade program. So we're going to graduate you one step at a time so that you feel comfortable until you become competent at exercise. And then, of course, then we add in the bigger challenge, which is getting people to choose the right foods and know what those foods are. So those in synergy with the exercise optimally gets that person healthy and fit.
That makes perfect sense, and you explained it very well. I like the analogy as well because, yeah, you're not going to throw everybody into third grade when some really need to be in kindergarten, some need to be in, high school.
I'm in pre-pre-pre-pre-pre-pre.
But there's got to be that confidence that goes along with that, in that knowing that your program has been designed exactly for you,
yes.
taking into account, whatever your current level is, as well as probably what your goals are and what you really want to be working on. So at least you're probably not feeling like, I can't do this. It's really...
What did happen when I went on Friday, the second day? The first two machines, the first machine... I thought
a lat pull down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I mixed it up. It was supposed to be. I used the wrong machine, and I put the wrong weight because I thought it was the other machine. So that machine, I was only supposed to have 20 pounds of weight, I think, and I did 40 pounds because it was supposed to be on the other machine. So I sit and I'm all ready, and I'm like. Oh my gosh, that is so hard. This wasn't like this yesterday. I mean, I was dying. I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't, and then I did think maybe I shouldn't be doing this 2 days in a row like this. But I pushed myself through my reps, and then I went and did my cardio, and I come back, and then I'm like, oh my gosh. But I felt better that it was wrong because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that was too hard. Mm-hmm. But I mixed it up. It was supposed to be 20 pounds instead of 40
The prescriptions
pounds.
Are done based upon... As you remember early on, we tested you on each machine or each movement
right.
so that we could estimate what your output was. And when we designed the program to fit that output so that an exercise is a principle called the overload principle, which simply states that a body or the musculature has to be subjected to a new stimuli each and every time that you exercise. Otherwise, nothing changes. And that's the reason why so many people work out and do the same things over and over again and get no result. We design it so that the program challenges the exercisee from one workout bout to the next, slowly but surely moving up to a new level of fitness. And then over the course of 8 weeks, because the nervous system starts to shut down at that point, we retest that person and start them all over again so that they can reach genetic potential without having to get hurt or even pay the high cost of having somebody like myself training you one-on-one, which most people couldn't afford.
Right. So interesting. I never thought we'd learn so much about health every Monday, but we do. And it all just makes sense. It just all makes sense. You are listening to Food for Thought if you're just tuning in. And we are in studio with Rocco from Integrity Health. You can check him out on the web at integrityfit.com. And we're going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse. Thank you.
Food for Thought. And we are live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down and have lunch over at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. We are today's Healthy Monday. We talk about being healthy. And June will be in a little later doing her Meatless Mondays and seasonal recipes and tips and all that. And we are now in studio with Rocco from Integrity Health. He has two locations, one in Bedford and one in Londonderry. And you can check him out on the web at integrityfit.com. And we're chatting about health and the importance of exercising and all the different components of it. And it doesn't work unless you are doing all the components.
That's correct. And last week we spoke a lot about cardiovascular, the aerobic component of fitness. And we touched a little bit on strength training, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about strength training for the time that we have left today and helping people understand why that is so important.
Now, when you say strength training, mm-hmm. you're talking the machines.
I'm talking any time that you're pushing up against a resistance. You could be running or sprinting up a set of stairs. That would still be in some form strength training because it doesn't use oxygen in order for that activity to take place.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Well, I'm thinking that running would be cardio.
A long distance would be cardio. If you were running as fast as you could, say for 100 yards or less, more than likely that's a form of anaerobic training or training that takes place without oxygen being present.
Okay.
So it does help with your cardiovascular fitness indirectly, but it's not considered cardiovascular training.
Okay.
And I won't get into the deep science of that because we'd be here all day.
You'll lose us anyway.
I'd be talking terms that your eyes would cross and you'd be falling asleep. So we just want to touch upon, you know, the basics of these things so that people out there understand when they do go out and exercise, how to optimize the time they spend exercising and getting the most for that time. But strength training really is, if you were doing a push-up, there is no machine there that you're still doing a weight training because the weight becomes your body.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So you take a look at things that you're pushing up any kind of resistance. So it could be free weights. It could be picking up, you know, half full milk jugs. Mm-hmm. That would still be, you know, you could be a substitute on the road for a dumbbell if you couldn't get to a gym or anything that involves pushing up against an object that either doesn't move, which would be called isometric training, or moving slowly, which would be resistance training, or isokinetic training, which there is a separate or a change in the movement of that particular group of muscle. So again, if we were doing even a squat, sitting down in the chair and getting up in a chair. So if you're working in the office and you decide that, well, for the next, you know, few minutes, I'm going to do 20 squats and rest, you'd still be getting what's called resistance training.
While I'm working.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the bigger benefit of resistance training versus cardiovascular training is that you are building muscle. See, when you go out and you run, you don't build any muscle, period. Zero. Zilch.
Interesting.
None.
Okay.
You will build up an ability to efficiently use oxygen more, but what you don't get is the bigger change in what your lean tissue is. Now, your lean tissue or your muscle tissue, for each pound that you have on your body, burns between 15 to 17 calories per day just sitting on your body. So the more lean tissue you have, the more calories you can burn doing nothing, like on Jeannie's routine. That 2 week thing.
My anaerobic, yeah.
Yeah. So if she's sitting around with
anabolic.
If she has a lot of lean tissue, her anabolic ability over the course of that 2 weeks that she's not doing anything until she starts doing something again, she will burn more calories versus somebody who has less lean tissue. Now, if you take a look at a pound of muscle, which I just mentioned earlier, that burns between 15 and 17 calories per day, and 1 pound of fat, a pound of fat burns about 1 to 2 calories per day. So a person who weighs, we'll say 150 pounds, but 100 pounds is muscle and 50 pounds is fat, isn't as efficient at burning calories as somebody who weighs 150 pounds, but 125 pounds of that is lean muscle mass and only 25 pounds is fat. In fact, they will look very different because the muscle is much more dense and it takes up less room. So the person who has 125 pounds of lean mass that weighs 150 will look a lot smaller than somebody who has only 100 pounds of muscle mass and 50 pounds of fat will look much larger. Same exact number
same
on
weight,
the scale,
but
totally different. So that's why when people jump on a scale and they're measuring their success or their failures there, it's not really an accurate way of looking at that. Because if somebody, say, embarked on an exercise plan that involved resistance training or weight training, and they put on 5 pounds of muscle, technically, even if they went up 5 pounds, they're actually leaner, because when you take a look at the ratio, now they have more lean mass. So when you're measuring the body composition, they're actually healthier than they were before. And I think that freaks out so many women who start training, because they think, oh my God, this is not what I wanted to happen. But in all reality, that is exactly what should happen right before the fat comes off. Mm-hmm. So every great exercise program that involves resistance training would have to, in most cases, start with some weight gain before the actual fat loss comes off.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you take like my sister, for example. I am not someone that has to weigh myself every day or even every week. The scale is, I'm not like, you know, mesmerized. But I mean, you know, my sister, she weighs herself every day. Mm-hmm. She is like, you know, she's like a fanatic with it. You know, goes up to, down to, you know, I mean, she's like crazy with it. And, you know, I always tell her, Kathy, it doesn't matter what the scales that, you know, and you're right.
It doesn't really matter at all. I mean.
But I think some women, you know, they get into that mode. And, you know, like you said, it's just a thing, you know?
Yeah. It just as well as, you know, a size of clothing also is very individual.
Yes.
My daughter is tall, very tall, and she's lean. But she compares herself with a girl who is very petite, and to try to convince her that you need to not be comparing yourself to someone with a completely different body type when you are very healthy for your frame,
right,
is a hard thing for girls to get over, and
right,
probably women too. We're so tied to a dress size, a number on the scale
My
to feel good about ourselves.
Exactly that. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's all marketing, because they want to push your buttons or get you, you know, the magazines are all airbrush people and make you believe
right
that the life is much more beautiful than it is. But from a health standpoint, forget about all the looks and all the glamour and all that other BS. A person should really take a look at their health and say, I have to figure out a way to be either 25% body fat or less.
Mm-hmm.
That way you become an asset to healthcare. You become an asset to your communities. You become an asset to yourself. And by instead of doing that, you'll avoid lots of healthcare costs in the future, and you'll feel and look a lot better. We get lost by the scale thing, and we get lost by what society believes we should look like. You have to kind of look past all that stuff and say, what's the greatest good for the greatest amount of people? And when you make that choice, everything does fall into place, and it's not as hard as it may appear from the outside.
Right.
And you feel if you're making all those steps, if you can get yourself there psychologically, if you're working out and you're doing things that make you feel like a healthy person, it's much easier to try to resist those messages. Because honestly, they prevail from the time we were 5 years old. What 5-year-old little girl doesn't start dressing as a princess? I mean, we've been doing it for years. So to get that out of our heads and to try to accept ourselves as healthy people, but in a different vision, is a very challenging thing to do. But as you're working out and making healthy choices, you feel better about those things.
No, I totally agree. I think when you take a look at society today versus, you know, some of the pictures I showed you from the 1960s, you can see that we've fallen from grace quite a bit. We're much more technologically advanced,
mm-hmm,
but our ambitions, our motivations are really mediocre. I mean, I think you can be a C average person today in the minds of most people, and they say, well, I'm at least I'm better than so-and-so, mm-hmm. which to me is a mindset that's just, it's doomed. It's doomed right. to fail at some
right,
point.
Right.
I aspire to always be the best that I can possibly be every single day. I mean, I'm not going to be a world champion that I used to be back in, you know, the 1990s, but the reality is I'm going to be the best person that I can be today and be the healthiest person, try to be the most ethical person I can, or more than I was yesterday, and make the best of my life.
And we all need to just strive to do that every day. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right.
So
another great segment.
Another great week. And I wish everybody the best this week. And remember, between your thoughts and your actions lies your ability to choose. Why not choose to think healthy?
There you go.
Thank you.
Love that. Love it. Love it. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. Stay tuned. And June will be in the house. And we'll be right back.